This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com. From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Searchers continue to scour Sauvie Island looking for Kyron Horman. The Selwood Bridge design process starts today. And a zoo's kangaroo survives a train accident.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, October 4th, 2010. After a month with few public developments in the Kyron Horman case, more than 100 searchers swarmed Sauvie Island on both Saturday and Sunday looking for clues to the location of the missing boy. On Saturday, 160 search and rescue personnel from multiple jurisdictions combed farms and forests in the rural area. On ATVs, on horseback, and with canine crews, the mostly volunteer team said they would not give up until this case is resolved. On Sunday, about 115 searchers, including units from Clark and Skamania counties, combed areas of the island that included forays deep into the blackberry brambles. Recently developed information led investigators to conclude that there were areas of Sauvie Island that needed to be examined, and in some cases, re-examined.
Specifically the pantless areas, by the way.
In greater detail.
Isn't Sauvie Island the place? Isn't it one of those clothing optional?
Yeah, there's a beach there.
Clothing optional just means nude. I don't even know why they say clothing optional. Clothing optional means clothing left at home. It means clothing not on your body. It means all of your vast, fleshy, pink acreage exposed to passersby.
It means you can do it without clothing if you so choose. But I'll bet there's some people who still wear, like, pants.
But what would be the point of going to... Well, I guess if you're just going to ogle... You know, if you're going to lech, but it seems like they don't really allow lechery at those places.
Or maybe you're with someone who wants to be naked and you don't want to be completely naked. Like, I went to a nude beach once when I was young and more and less round.
Were you one of the many fine unclothed people?
I had this boyfriend who used to go there all the time. He was sort of this really tall, handsome, blonde, kind of really stupid, half-hippie kind of a guy. And he was like, we go to this clothing optional beach. And I was like, I don't want to. And he said, no, it's fun. You like it. And I was like, okay. So I went. I think I told you the story before because, I ran into somebody I had gone to high school with. This was about 2 years after I was out of high school. So I ran into some guy I'd gone to high school with. And we were both naked. And it was just really, really awkward.
Were you doing that thing where you were having to sort of... You were just pretending that the nudity wasn't happening, that it didn't exist?
It was so hard. It was so hard to just walk around and act natural because it's like you don't want to look at people because, like, really, everyone's naked.
Yeah.
And I don't know these people, and I don't want to look at them. And a lot of them were people that you don't really want to see naked.
Well, that's always
the case. It was a rocky beach, so everyone's wearing shoes. And, like,
desperately afraid to trip.
And at some point, I just put on a T-shirt and said, oh, I'm worried I'm going to get sunburned.
Because
it was just...
But was it that thing where you were talking to him and you were both really intently maintaining eye contact as though it's... I forget who made this comparison, but they said that being on a nude beach was sort of like...
It was, you know, Easter Island where the giant statue heads are?
Yeah.
I don't know who it is that actually carved the statues on Easter Island, but they at one point, the people who carved the statues on Easter Island then no longer lived there, and the island was abandoned for some time, and then another people came and settled the island. And they said that when people actually first encountered the giant stone carvings on Easter Island, they were so large that they couldn't be fathomed, and so by dint of that, they all just collectively decided they didn't exist. And they would just walk around pretending they weren't there because they couldn't really wrap their brains around it. And I think that's what being on a nude beach is sort of like. Where you're like, I can't really cope with the fact that your weenus is pointing right at me. And so I'm just going to maintain a strained sort of eye contact here and pretend that your schlong is not right there, about, you know, 12 inches down or whatever.
And then there's the fact that you yourself are not wearing any clothes.
Yeah.
And like you have mentioned that you don't like to be naked even in your house.
No.
So like, you know, you're walking around just thinking, I'm naked.
Yeah.
I'm naked. I'm not wearing clothes. There's people here and I'm naked. I'm naked. You know, just, it was awful.
Next hour, I won't do it now because we'll get sidetracked, but next hour I have this this story actually from just like 2 weeks ago with my wife and some other chick at some clothing optional place. I wasn't there, by the way, so it's not, the story's not that exciting.
I was really like thrilled for you there for a moment.
Or maybe it was, and I just, I haven't been told all the salient details. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
The Federal Highway Administration's approval of the Selwood Bridge replacement project has paved the way for Multnomah County to move on to the design phase of the bridge. Selecting the structure type for the new bridge will be the first milestone in the design phase. The selection process begins today when the Selwood Bridge Community Advisory Committee will meet to recommend a bridge type. The meeting will begin at 5:30 p.m. at Smile Station at 8210 Southeast 13th Avenue. Meetings are open to the public and include time for public comment.
Smile Station, will the meeting be called to order by a 12-inch high Ringo Starr who sort of has a brightly polished badge and a conductor's outfit?
Exactly.
Okay. I don't understand what they mean when they say bridge type. I mean, I know there's drawbridges, but presumably it's not going to be one of those. I mean, what else is there to... I mean, it's a bridge. It's a thing that goes across the... I mean...
Well, you can just look at the bridges we already have in this city. You see there are many, many different kinds of designs for different bridges.
Are they getting community input? Is that the deal? They're having the townspeople coming and sort of clamoring Blazing Saddle style about what kind of bridge they want?
Yeah, and if it's like any normal community meeting, it's mostly going to be people standing up and talking about things that barely have anything to do with what's actually going on, and it will not be helpful in any way whatsoever.
I would like to discuss the Trilateral Commission involvement with this bridge and why no one is discussing the Bilderbergs.
Why do we even need a bridge? I mean, remember when we used to have ferries? We could do that again, like a raft and a guy with a pole.
Isn't it true that Jews own all the bridges? That's not me asking that,
no.
By the way. That's my depiction of a rube. It's an amusing exaggeration of reality. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.fm. Don't forget this program is available at iTunes later on today. You can also get it as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com and on your handheld device as well. That is mobile.pdx.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
The Supreme Court begins its new term today. A major free speech argument this week includes whether a small Kansas church led by Pastor Fred Phelps can protest at military funerals with their anti-homosexual message. Albert Snyder, father of a fallen Marine from Maryland, tried to sue the church but lost on appeal.
I don't care if you're not military. No one should be buried with what the Phelps did to him.
This is Court 1. Is that the right soundbite there?
Yes.
So this is the... Now, whatever happened to that thing where the Westboro Church guys were showing up, and they were protesting, but then there was this counter protest that started happening where like bikers would show up, and actually, so it would be like the church on one side, the funeral on the other, and then these bike guys would park in the middle, and they would actually sort of sit there and idle their motorcycles loud enough to cover the protesting.
That still happens. Also, the counter protest with the people with
the more whimsical signs, Portland style protesting. Or just Jesus hates toast.
Yes.
You know, for like no readily apparent.
But
reason.
Yeah, this is actually, basically going to court to find out whether or not it's okay to just tell them, okay, stop it. Just stop it.
Well, which I don't think it is because it's not, I mean, it's because it's public property,
yeah.
To the best of my knowledge. I mean, it's not like they're standing on somebody's, they're not like in somebody's living room.
Yeah. More importantly, we should see if we could pass a law where we're all allowed to just show up and beat them senseless.
That's exactly what we should have, Don.
You know, they're allowed to say anything they want, and then we're allowed to beat them until they can't talk anymore.
Well, there should be sort of a test of your principles to see exactly if you have the courage of your convictions. Like, you get to speak 10 minutes for every time I get to kick you in the junk.
Yeah.
Sort of a, I will trade you one kick to the nards in exchange for 10 minutes of unfettered hate speech.
If I can bloody your nose with this steel pipe,
yeah,
then you have another 10 minutes that you can talk about how much you hate fags.
We'll roll Chambeau for it. Here's the... have you ever read... I guess you can't read the biography because I think there was a lawsuit and it was actually pulled, but it was leaked online and then large sections of it ended up in Fred Phelps' Wikipedia entry. His son, one of his sons, wrote a biography of what it was like to grow up with Fred Phelps as your dad. And then there was some preemptive lawsuit and the book ended up not being published, but again, large sections of it were in Fred Phelps' Wikipedia section. And it was just, it's just terrifying. I mean, you sort of know the guy is nuts, but you don't really appreciate how unbelievably crazy he is until you read the kid's account of growing up in that house. I mean, it's a miracle that the kid just survived. I mean, even reasonably sane. So this is Legion of News right here, PDX.fm. Here's Don Taylor.
A kangaroo at the Kansas City Zoo lost part of its tail after a train ran over it on Sunday. Zoo officials said a red kangaroo was near the tracks when the train came by. The train, which carries zoo patrons around the zoo, runs through the kangaroo exhibit. The zoo said the 15-year-old kangaroo lost about 3 inches of its tail. Officials said the animal was recovering after surgery. We just had to treat the tail where it was injured, said Liz Harmon, Kansas City Zoo general curator. She can still balance and she'll be okay with what's left.
I like the idea that we're going to have a zoo so you can see animals behaving as they do in their natural environment. You know, where they have trains running by two or three times every hour from a distance of 6 feet. That's exactly how it is in the outback, kids.
You think the kangaroos might have learned that they should stay away from the train? Or is it one of those things that they see the train go by so often they don't fear it anymore?
Well, my question is what... Where do the kangaroos... Is it? This isn't the zoo here, is it?
No, Kansas City.
Okay, so maybe I'm misunderstanding. Maybe this is a different kind of zoo than those that I have seen in the past. But there's the train, and then there's... Like, I'm thinking of an enclosure or something. Or is this like a Jurassic Park-style zoo where they just roam freely and, like, you're in the middle of the forest or something?
Well, this is Kansas City, so I have no idea. I mean...
They haven't developed fences.
The thing is, you get used to seeing, like the Portland Zoo is a really good zoo.
Right.
And, like, I spent most of my life, my early life, the first third or half of my life in Los Angeles. Los Angeles Zoo, really good zoo. There are a lot of very crappy zoos, though. And you don't really think about how crappy the zoos are until you accidentally stumble into one.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, you know, an enclosure with, like, bunnies. And then next to it is, like, just sort of... You know, a chicken wire pen on stilts, and it has a bobcat living in it, and it like in the thing so small it could barely turn around.
A quillless porcupine,
yeah,
just sitting there, just looking sad, and just going, "Well, maybe next turn of the karmic wheel will be kinder."
And you think, "Wow, I should have realized when it only cost 50 cents to get in here that this was not going to be a good zoo."
Seriously, all right, and so forth. You're listening to the Legion of News right here at PDX.fm, brought to you by, among other folks, Castalia Language Center. Castalia Language Center is a Spanish language class and is run in downtown Portland by Clara Grebel, and she's originally from Argentina. Or is that Argentina, or is that like an Argentina? Is that one of those things where I'm just pronouncing it wrong because I'm a dumb American? It probably that is the case.
Argentina.
All right. Well, it's like when I see armadillo and I always want to say armadillo because I think that's probably how it's actually pronounced.
Well, I think llama instead of llama.
Now, is that true? Now, is that the thing that we are just mangling as a
culture here? I don't
know. Here?
I always thought it was llama, but then there's the Monty Python sketch where they sing the song in Spanish about llamas, and they keep singing llama.
Right. So. Well, as long as you're not saying jalapeno, I mean, that really is all that matters in this life to me anyway. The point is the Castalia Language Center is based in downtown Portland, Oregon. They keep their class sizes to a maximum of 8 people, which means you are getting closer to individual attention than certainly you're going to get at most schools, certainly than you got in high school. And they cater to adults. That means you're not going to have kids or teenagers or children or whatever. Because A, they've got language classes, starting younger and younger in schools, and B, so your kids are taken care of, and also adults just learn differently. So you find out more at PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com, and as we've noted a few times in the past couple of weeks, that if you are, if you're wanting to keep your brain in tip-top shape as you get older, you want to ward off the dulling effects, of old age, of, the potential onset of, memory loss, any of those things, language learning is one of the best ways that you can do that. It's PortlandSpanish.com. That is Castalia Language Center. Please tell them you heard it here, right here on Legion of News at PDX.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
One defendant has pleaded guilty to a scheme to buy and sell votes to get electronic bingo legalized in Alabama, after authorities also indicted a casino owner, 4 state senators, and several lobbyists. The Justice Department said Monday that an employee of the Montgomery lobbying firm, Jennifer Pouncey, admitted she had offered $2 million to a senator at the direction of her boss, casino lobbyist Jared Massey. Assistant Attorney General Larry Brewer said the federal investigation found criminal activity that was astonishing in scope. He calls it a full-scale campaign to bribe legislators and others.
For bingo.
The indictment with 11 defendants also alleges senators solicited money for their votes.
If you were going to have a $2 million bribe and you're going to risk your reputation and your name and imprisonment and money and you're tarnishing your family, why wouldn't you do it for something that's not basically dominated by old women who chain smoke and have beanie babies?
Apparently there is a lot of money in bingo, Rick Emerson.
I suppose, but is there a new crop of bingo enthusiasts being born every year? Because I've seen the bingo playing demographic, up close and personal. And that is it's not even 75 to dead. It's sort of it's like a 65 to dead, but dying soon because, again, they're all just sitting there just chain smoking Pall Malls while they play.
Well, I wonder about it because the baby boomers are getting older, but these are people who have been playing video games.
Yeah.
So my husband and I have talked about how weird it's going to be to see what's happening in senior centers and stuff when we're in our 70s, that it's going to be people sitting around
playing Bionic Commando.
Yeah, reminiscing about Wii.
Yeah.
And playing Dungeons and Dragons and stuff.
I'm just picturing a whole lot of hip breakages happening in nursing homes as a guy tries to play, Sega Skate or something. Christ. All right. Hey, did you know that you could play as the duck in Duck Hunt?
No, I didn't know.
Found that out this weekend. Game's been out for 30 years. Just found that out.
Really?
Yeah. Here's Don Taylor.
And did you?
No.
No.
Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
In response to news that the U.S. will issue a travel advisory in Europe, Portland's German consul said Al-Qaeda threats must be taken seriously. It just shows that Al-Qaeda is still strong and still wants to hurt the Western civilized world, Gunther Hoffman said. I have more here somewhere because we had some sound on this.
But this is them talking about a travel advisory or travel alert or warning or some such.
Oh, there it is. The State Department alert is in effect for Americans traveling in Europe because of increased terrorist threats. But former State Department counterterrorism expert Don Hamilton says this is only an alert, not a warning.
This has been more or less standard policy ever since the Pan Am 103 bombing, when there were some hints that the State Department had that something might happen. We used to call it Lockerbie rules.
Lockerbie rules.
Lockerbie. it does, too.
It's not like Australian rules flying. No. It's Lockerbie rules flying. I was going to make the worst joke ever, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to step back from that precipice. So this is like when you go to the airport and there's just the long list of cities where they tell you, if you go there, you'll probably be killed, and don't call us and whine for help.
Yeah, the Obama administration issued the warning Sunday for U.S. citizens to remain vigilant in public places in Europe. There were plots to attack several European cities linked to Osama bin Laden. This fellow Hamilton, though, says the advisory really isn't that serious.
This is about the mildest thing they can do, and the State Department is historically extremely cautious on these things. They don't want to be accused of having knowledge beforehand and then not alerting people.
So this is where they give you the blanket sort of, it's the fine print at the bottom. If you travel to any of these places, you may be killed.
Yeah. The Hoffman, the Portland German consul, said that you don't want to overreact. We don't want to play into Al-Qaeda's hand by just totally discontinuing travel from Portland to Europe. This woman that we are about to hear is heading for Europe despite the advisory.
Made the arrangements 6 months ago. It would probably take an incident of some sort where there was real danger.
See, I think it's right after the incident. That's when you wouldn't be buying your air travel because they just discount things across the board at 80%. That's really when your best bargains are found, is post a lot of people being killed somewhere.
Yes. As someone says in the text box, the president needs to add the max stop at Lloyd Center to that list of watching out where you should travel to.
Well, this is just a huge thing and 80-point Helvetica type. The State Department has not sanctioned this bus stop. I guess this is Monday? So today's Monday, the 4th. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Thursday, Yes, my wife is leaving on Thursday to fly immediately to Turkey. So she's going to be my sort of my canary in the coal mine there, you know, because she's sort of pushing me to travel, you know, somewhere to leave the country again and go somewhere over there. And you know, I'm going to let her do the whole, I found out she's doing like, I don't know, it's like five countries or four continents or something or other.
So but if she comes home alive and unmolested, then maybe you'll consider actually traveling?
Yeah. I mean, she's traveling with this, like, so it's her and then her cute blonde friend and they're going together. And I figure, you know what, so that right there is going to be a good, you know, that's going to be a good, you know, a good test case. If they come back and they haven't been maimed or assaulted in some fashion, then I will, I'll know the presumable answer to whether it's safe or not.
And meanwhile, we'll just spend this this weekend at your house, like playing our rock and roll records really loudly and raiding the liquor cabinet.
That's exactly what we'll do, yes. Don.
The mention before from the text box about the Lloyd Center had to do with a man being stabbed in the back Sunday evening at the Lloyd Center MAX station.
Well, I figured it was just the usual mayhem and murder that was happening.
No, this was a very, very specific mayhem.
All right.
About 6 p.m., a couple had left the mall and were waiting for an eastbound train. The victim said he saw a woman he knew and said hello to her. The woman came over and spat on the victim's girlfriend. A fight broke out that included another man and a woman on the platform. During the fight, the victim, who is 20, yelled out to his girlfriend that he had been stabbed twice. The three suspects fled on foot. The woman was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening wounds. The MAX line was shut down as transit police began a search for suspects. The two women involved were found, but the man got
away. Unclear. So the guy just says, like, hey, Janice, how's it going? And she says, hey, Phil. And
yeah.
Then spits right in Phil's girlfriend's face.
And then all five of them apparently began engaging in fisticuffs.
Then they began rumbling,
yes.
I think is what you're wanting to say there. But then who stabbed the guy? Was it the woman or was it somebody else? I don't know how many people are involved and where they came from.
There was a couple, a man and a woman. Then he saw a woman he knew with another couple.
So she was with another couple. Then they all come over. She spits on the guy's new woman or whatever.
Right.
Then all, presumably, five of them.
Right. Start
and then
fighting with each other. And
somebody
goes,
stabbed
so
him.
So somebody stabbed him.
Okay, but he's not quite sure who.
No.
Or
they're just not saying. Right.
Well, that right there tells you everything you need to know about the area right in the vicinity of Lloyd Center, is that somebody stabbed him. It could have been one of any number of people. And even if he knew, he's not telling you, the man. So, all right.
Yeah, I go to a lot of screenings at the Lloyd Center Mall, the Lloyd Center Theater across from the mall, one on Multnomah.
At least you're not right, at least you're in the second circle.
Yeah, I avoid going to that mall whenever possible. But whenever I go to that theater, there's always that that red light right before you get to the theater where you have to stop, and there's all these people crossing the street to go to the mall. And it's just a parade of sadness.
It really is.
It really is. I just sit there, and every time I watch these people, and it reminds me, this is why I never go to Lloyd Center.
Yeah. No, it sort of just knocks Darwin, you know, all to hell when you look at it and you just see those people crossing the street. You should have been weeded out so long ago. At least you're not, though, at the one inside the mall.
No.
Because the one inside Lloyd Center, I mean, it's like, you know what it is? Being at that theater inside Lloyd Center, it's like being at the world's loudest, most obnoxious, least amusing live Mystery Science Theater performance. It's just a whole lot of, you know what it is? It's a lot of sassy women talking back to the screen and saying things that aren't terribly amusing while you're trying to work.
And you have to walk through the food court to get to it, and that food court is just a Fellini-esque.
No, it's bad. It's bad. And it's like, there's something there. There's some sort of like, it's that thing that, you know, there's like chemical trails on the ground that we can't see that ants will follow to get to a particular place. And there must be some chemical trail for teenage mothers because they all end up at the Lloyd Center food court. Every one of them pushing a stroller, talking onto their Cricket phone while they're across from a Cajun grill, you know, wearing a Raiders hoodie that goes to their ankles. I mean, it's just like the worst. It is just the worst. And then there's always some guy. It looks like he just came off a front porch, you know, like in Lickskillet somewhere. Like, he ought to be twanging a banjo and raping his cousin, sitting there with one tooth, you know, and they're just talking about how he's going to go beat some guy's ass. And that's always, it's like variations on that theme. It's like a terrible Tennessee Williams play.
Yeah.
In hell.
Let's do our science news, shall we?
I'm just saying, don't do me wrong. I spent a lot of time there. Some of my best friends go to Lloyd Center. I'm sorry, what is this? Science news?
Science.
Here's your science news for Monday, right here at Legion of News.
Robert Edwards of the University of Cambridge was awarded a 2010 Nobel Prize in Medicine today for fathering the process of in vitro fertilization, a procedure that has allowed millions of infertile couples to have children since the 1970s. Despite generating a lively ethical debate when it debuted in 1978, more than 4 million so-called test tube babies have been born since Louise Brown became the first. And the odds of having a baby through in vitro fertilization are now 1 in 5, roughly the same as for couples who conceive naturally. In their statement today, the Nobel Institute congratulated Edwards and colleague Patrick Steptoe for devising the treatment for infertility, which affects 10% of couples worldwide. Verizon Wireless has agreed to what may be the largest refund in telecommunications history after mistakenly charging more than 15 million customers for internet and data use. The payout is rumored to total more than $50 million. The New York Times puts the figure at up to $90 million and comes in the wake of an FCC investigation into accusations of unauthorized charges. In a press statement, Verizon admitted it had wrongfully charged millions of customers $1.99 a pop for web access when they pushed a button on their phones that activated the internet. The company agreed to credit most customers anywhere from $2 to $6 on upcoming bills and will send out checks to former customers.
I will say this, that a company a lot like Verizon, it was Verizon, actually said, I should say this, I had, for the bulk of the time I was with Verizon, I had pretty great customer service. And this is never the case, but it was with them, especially on the phone. It's usually the other way around. Usually it's like you go into the store and they're fine, and you call on the phone and it's just, you know, and it's some dick somewhere who didn't care about you. With me, it was the opposite. When I would find that in the store, at the you'd walk into now granted, I was always going to the one at Lloyd Center, so I guess I should be lucky they didn't stab me in the eyes while I was there.
Or impregnate you. While playing a banjo.
Seriously. But anyway, so I typically had pretty good customer service, especially if I was dealing with them on the phone. But I will tell you this. They did the one thing they did to me that I found overtly weaselly. I won't say it was like flat out deceptive, but I will say that it was a little skeezy. Is when I first got my BlackBerry, they had this sort of all-you-can-eat, you know, plan for the data. It was an unlimited data plan, and it was, I don't know, it was like $39 a month or something, and it was like the corporate data plan, and it was an unlimited amount for $39.99 a month, and it was all they offered, and I'm like, well, okay, fine, sure, whatever, and so I paid for it, and, you know, fine, and then 6 months later, they introduced an all-you-can-download corporate plan, but then they also introduced a consumer version of that same plan, which was $29. It was $10 less for effectively the same thing. You were basically getting a discount for being an individual, not being a business. They never told me, like, ever, at any point over the next year, that they offered, like, an identical product for a lower price that I could have got. So over the course of, the next 2 years or whatever, I paid, like, $240 that I didn't really need to. So I'm not terribly crazy about some of their business practices.
Something called toasted skin syndrome has traditionally been associated with proximity to ovens or extreme heat sources, but a handful of new studies link the sponge-patterned skin discoloration to a new cause, lazy laptop users. Over the past 6 years, medical journals have covered at least 10 cases of toasted skin.
For the love of God, can we not use that phrase ever again?
That's
ever
what it's called.
Under any circumstances.
Well, they found at least 10 cases of it resulting from users who don't move their laptops despite the machines overheating. In an article published today, researchers relayed the case of a 12-year-old boy whose leg went spotty after months of playing video games. He recognized that the laptop got hot on the left side. However, regardless of that, he did not change its position. While the condition is mostly harmless, it can potentially lead to skin disease and infertility in men. To avoid scalded skin, scientists have a simple recommendation: move your laptop when it gets hot.
I think we should just remove this recommendation altogether, because if you have to be told, I mean, we're talking about your skin burning.
Yeah.
There's a piece of metal on your body that is, in fact, burning your skin. It is toasting it. If you have to be directed to remove the source of the burning from your skin, that you are beyond help. The help of science, the help of religion, in fact, the help of the Almighty himself. You cannot be aided or assisted in any way.
Yeah, if you're burning your own testicles to the point that it's eventually going to cause infertility because you just can't, you know, stop playing Bejeweled or whatever it is you're doing, yeah, it's you're kind of a lost cause.
Yeah, there's nothing that could be done for you.
Filling 130 pages of a special issue of the Journal of Sexual Medicine, a new study offers detailed findings on how often Americans have sex, with whom, and how they respond. In all, 5,865 people, ranging in age from 14 to 94, participated in the survey. The lead researchers from Indiana University's Center for Sexual Health Promotion said the study fills a void that has grown since the last comparable endeavor, the National Health and Social Life Survey, was published 16 years ago.
Was this in America, or was
No, this is here.
How do you suppose they go about recruiting 14-year-olds who are having a lot of sex to come in and talk about it?
I don't know. They had almost 6,000 people, so they must have found them from all sorts of places.
Interesting, but I mean, how do you solicit? No pun intended. How do you you can't just go to a school and go, hey, 14-year-old, who's having sex? Come on, who wants to talk about it?
Well, they could be children of faculty at the university,
perhaps. I suppose. All right.
Like
hey, Bob, you got a daughter, right? Hey, you suppose she's getting it on? Wouldn't mind if I talk to her about it?
Well, the researchers said they were struck by the variety of ways in which the subjects engaged in sex. 41 different combinations of sexual acts were tallied, encompassing vaginal and anal intercourse, oral sex, and partnered masturbation.
That's impossible, Dawn. 41.
They also found men are more likely to experience orgasm when vaginal intercourse is involved, while women are more likely to reach orgasm when they engage in a variety of acts, including oral sex. She noted, Deborah Herbenick, lead author of a section on women's sex lives, noted there was a gap in perceptions. 85% of the men said their latest sexual partner had an orgasm, while only 64% of the women reported having an orgasm in their most recent sexual event.
I'm so glad I'm not a woman. Really. And there are times when I think, well, you know, what is the grass like on the other side? Would it be easier if I had been born into a different section of the culture? But no. No, the answer, I think your pal Louis C.K. actually made that observation recently. He said that it's not that white people are better. It's that it is better to be white, really. There's a subtle difference there,
yes.
But an important one.
Oh, yes.
So it's much better to be me than you.
Well, in a lot of ways, yes. Among adolescent boys, only 2% of the 14-year-olds, but 40% of the 17-year-olds said they'd engaged in sexual intercourse in the past year. And they also found that while 7% of adult women and 8% of men identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, the proportion of individuals who have had same-gender sex at some point in their lives is much higher. For example, 15% of men aged 50 to 59 said they had received oral sex from another man at some point.
Wait, so that's 50 to 59, so that would have been men born, 60 to 70? 50 to 60.
Yeah.
1950. 50. That's actually surprising, especially when you consider that the actual figure's got to be probably higher than that.
Right, because, yeah.
Because guys always, I'm not gay.
You gotta. There's going to be a number of participants who wouldn't admit that.
What was the number for women? Did they actually have the same sex encounter number for women? I'd be curious to know.
No, they didn't.
Because it's got to be much higher in general, and in the actual even reported number, it's got to be much higher. That's legitimately surprising. All right. Well, there you go.
There you go. And then finally, in our science news, we had mentioned previously, like last week, I believe, a study about monkeys and a mirror self-recognition test. And how the monkeys recognizing themselves in the mirror was an indication that they had self-awareness. Well, the performance of children on a mirror self-recognition test has proven to vary hugely across cultures, according to a new study. And that the test involves surreptitiously putting a mark on a child's forehead, then seeing how they react when presented with their mirror image. Studies in the West suggest that about half of all 18-month-olds pass the test, rising to 70% by 24 months. Chimps, orangutans, dolphins, and elephants have also been shown to pass the test. But this woman and her colleagues have found that there's a much lower percentage of children who pass the test in Kenya, where they administered it to 82 children ranged between 18 to 72 months. What they're finding is they believe that children in the non-Western nations...
Do they just not have mirrors? I don't mean to sound daft, but I mean...
Well, let's see if I can find the thing. The impression, the researchers said, was that children understood that it was themselves in the mirror, that the mark was unexpected, but they were unsure as to an acceptable response and therefore dared not touch it or remove it. The thing is that it wasn't so much the recognition, but whether or not it was socially acceptable. They had different reactions based on the society in which they were raised.
Well, were they afraid? Were they afraid to touch the mirror or themselves? That's the thing I wonder about.
Well, Brosh and her colleagues speculated that the performance in the non-Western, more interdependent cultures may have been affected by the fact that children in these societies are often discouraged from asking questions. They're expected to learn by watching. This is in sharp contrast with the independence and self-initiative that tends to be encouraged and nurtured in the industrial West. Another factor could be that the non-Western children's relative lack of familiarity with mirrors, that they simply didn't understand what the mirror was. They want to do more research to test this, but the study provides an interesting example of why you need to be cautious when extrapolating from Western psychology research as to what the actual, you know, results are. They're also finding that this could also indicate that the differences in chimps and monkeys and various kinds of monkeys may not be that they're not self-aware, but there could be some societal thing that causes them to have a different reaction to the mirror itself.
Too much to process here. I just feel like my the miniature, the 8K chip in my head is just being overwhelmed at this point. When I look in the mirror, I just see James and Lily giving me advice from beyond. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX. That was a courtesy laugh because you don't even really know what I'm referring to.
No idea. I was.
I appreciate you giving me the. Oh, that was witty. Whatever
was,
it is you said.
That was fun.
It was my dork Harry. I saw the teaser trailer for the Harry Potter
thing.
Yes,
wasn't
it's when he looks in the mirror. It's not the mirror of remembrance. It's the. There's the room of requirement and the mirror of the whatever, the wishing mirror or whatever the hell. Where it's like you look into the mirror and you see. I'm telling you, like you know, you haven't even read it. It's
I've read some of them, and I know there was a mirror that he saw them in.
Did you? I thought you pulled the ripcord like before that happened.
Well, I saw the movie.
Okay.
Wasn't there a mirror in the thing, and he went to the place and he pulled the
thing.
He pulled the like sheet off of the mirror.
Yes.
And his parents were
okay. Because I guess the mirror of whatever is in the room of requirement. We have to stop this right now. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX. Because the next thing you know, we're going to be writing an online encyclopedia for Harry Potter, you know, or something, or we're going to be engaging in some long flame war on the discussion section of a particular wiki entry. And this is all true. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 o'clock. Coming up today, is that accurate? Right there,
it is indeed.
So we have a corpse watch coming up today, geek watch, clown watch coming up later on in the Rick Emerson program. We'll also have another installment of the Week in Geek with Mr. Aaron Duran. We'll talk about last night's episodes of Eastbound and Down and Mad Men, plus The Social Network, which we both saw this weekend. So that's all coming up at 1 o'clock at the Rick Emerson Show. Here at Legion of News, we want to welcome a brand new business partner that is Squires Electric. Squires Electric. You can find out more about them at squireselectric.com. And squireselectric.com. And as you just heard, first of all, we got bogged down trying to remember what a mirror was actually called in a book. So we really are just, when we were talking about the folks who can't quite figure out what a mirror does or, you know, how to react to it, Don and I ourselves are really only one step beyond that. So that's a thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself flummoxed by, confused by, or just altogether torn asunder by the idea that you're going to have to, deal with some sort of wiring issue in your house, the bottom line is you don't have to do it. You can contact Squires Electric, and they will make sure that whatever it is in your home that needs to be fixed, repaired, maintained, put in, taken out, made more powerful, made less powerful, split into more parts, fewer parts, whatever. They'll take care of all of that, and that's any kind of wiring. That's not just electrical wiring. That's Ethernet wiring. It's putting something into your office. It's putting something into your home. They've actually contracted with condominiums, with office buildings that are going up from scratch, as well as go to. And here's the other thing you find in Portland. And I think you mentioned this when you were talking about that you lived in a place like a Walton's house where it just had the big knife switch up back, like the big, huge on-off thing. And there is one of those, by the way, on the roof of this building. After you told that story about the big knife switch upstairs or at your house, I was actually on the rooftop patio, I think maybe last Friday, and I was leaning up against one of the sort of air conditioning units up there and just looking out over the city and thinking to myself, what a fine expanse of town, you know, we have our studios in. And then there is like a huge knife switch upstairs that I had the overwhelming temptation to throw it, just having heard you tell that story. But you don't want to do that, because if you live in Portland's, a lot of houses here are like 150 years old, and if you you know, and it's like you wire one thing wrong and then you're one of those guys downtown with no legs rattling a tin cup. And it's like you don't want to be that. So you can get a hold of them at 503-252-1609, Squires Electric, 503-252-1609. Free estimates. There is no job too small, no job too large. If invested with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. They'll do it correctly. They'll do it correctly the first time. Joe Squires and his compatriots, they are based here in Portland. They are from Portland. It's a Portland business. You can feel good about putting your trust in them. 503-252-1609, Squires Electric. This is Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
A Craigslist ad placed by a Kentucky parent has police and Child Protective Services investigating. "Nobody's ever going to believe what this says," said Maria Milliner, a Craigslist user. "That's why I told my daughter to get back online, because you're not going to believe what I just read." Milliner had been on Craigslist every day for weeks trying to find a dog to bring home. But Friday night, she could not believe the ad she saw in the pet section.
Wait, hold on. Let me guess. Is this, in fact, not a dog, but somebody selling their baby?
Wow, you're good.
Is that really what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know why I know?
Why?
Because that's always what it is.
Yeah.
It is like every 3 months there's somebody trying to sell their baby via Craigslist.
I saw a human baby and I thought...
A human baby.
Can't be. So I clicked on it and it came up with the ad that a woman in New Albany has a 2-month-old son that she can no longer take care of. And she wanted anybody interested to email her. Underneath the horse training, above the free beagle, it said human baby. It was right in here, but they've since pulled the ad.
Underneath the horse training and above the free beagle.
Yes.
All right, to grandmother's house we go.
In the alleged ad, the parent said she could no longer take care of their 2-month-old baby, Devin. Milliner says police told her told her family there was nothing illegal about the ad. She said...
Well, because she wasn't trying to sell it, right? She was trying to... It was like a free-to-good-home,
yeah.
You know, pets or meat kind of a thing.
The New Albany, Kentucky police say they're not sure if there's anything illegal about it, but they're investigating.
Right now, it seems to us that it's a safety matter that needs to be looked into.
You think?
And then any criminal matters that would balloon from this, we would look into those as we can.
Well, I guess you can sort of fault the woman. I mean, it's easy to say, well, why would she list it in the pet section? But now that I think about it, like, where else would you put it?
Yeah, they don't have a free baby section.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's accordions. I mean, there's just nowhere. I mean, there really is no. There's no appropriate place to lodge that sort of post.
Well, apparently, if you want to get a cheaper a free baby, the Craigslist in Kentucky is the place to look, according to the local news station.
On Saturday, we found another very similar ad on Craigslist in Louisville. A pregnant mother apparently looking for a family to adopt her unborn child. And a similar ad was up in Colorado Springs recently, but police say that was a hoax.
It should be a crime. You cannot just post a child. It's not a dog. It's not a cat. Now, free to good home, you don't know who's going to call. You don't know who's going to end up with your baby, if it is for real. And if it's not, it's kind of sick either way.
Okay.
Sorry. If he's still alive, what would be their working theory? Did she sell him?
No. Giving him away. And there you go. It's the Legion of News news program right here on PDX.FM. Don't forget, it's available on your handheld device at mobile.pdx.fm or as an MP3 download later on from PDX.FM or legionofnews.com. Also available via iTunes. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Eugene police say two men saved a man suspected of drunken driving from flames that engulfed his car after a crash. The Eugene Register Guard reports that 52-year-old Stuart Whitehead of Blodgett, Oregon, crashed his pickup truck into a school bus in the early Saturday morning hours on I-205 after running a traffic light. Police say that after the collision, the pickup truck burst into flames. Two men who were near the crash rushed to the vehicle, broke a window, and pulled Whitehead out. The bus driver was uninjured. Whitehead has been booked in jail for suspicion of driving while intoxicated.
You know, this has absolutely nothing to do with this story, except to say that I find Whitehead to be a singularly unpleasant name.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's in a town called Blodgett. I mean, it's just a whole conglomeration of things there that is just icky to say and to hear. I've always felt bad for people who have that name.
Well, in addition, I went to school with a girl when I was in elementary school whose last name was Whitehead. And she was, I don't know for a fact that they actually lived literally in a trailer, but she was one of those very strange, very thin, very pale, blonde
like Carrie
girls.
Carrie White.
Yeah, and she was very pale blonde and almost albino white, and she always smelled vaguely of soup and urine. And her last name was Whitehead, and the whole thing was very unfortunate.
Which was the stronger scent?
Urine.
Yeah.
Really?
It always is.
With an undertone of soup. Former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, who departed Washington Friday to run for mayor of Chicago, has put up his first video on his new campaign website. In it, Emanuel credits longtime Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, but says it is time to start fresh.
We are facing tremendous challenges, from attracting jobs, to improving our schools, to making all our neighborhoods safer.
Now, you figure that when you're running for mayor of Chicago, that just means... It's sort of like Tom Sawyer showing up in church and asking for the Bible. It's where he's collected 35 red tickets that you can turn in for 10 blue tickets, and you can turn in 10 blue tickets for a green ticket, and the green ticket can be redeemed for a Bible. So Rahm Emanuel has clearly just gotten enough credits racked up with somebody that he's now able to spend them it's like shopping on Wheel of Fortune. Okay, I'll be mayor of Chicago, and then also I'd like to have... I'll take the two of my enemies killed, one after torture. And what do I have? And the ceramic tigers.
Well, I keep wondering if it's one of those things. It strikes me like he could, like he says, he didn't ever want to run against Daley because Daley was a mentor of
his.
But it seems like, you know, it almost feels like one of those things where he couldn't get anybody to support him to run for mayor of Chicago unless he went and got another job that made him like grossly overqualified for it, and then he's allowed to step back down into it again. Like they're going, okay, well, you were White House Chief of Staff, so I guess we have to pay attention to you now.
Well, that kind of shows you just how entrenched I think the Chicago political machine, and it's not like I know a ton about it, but I mean, I guess I know maybe more than the layman or whatever, because I kind of because corruption in politics is sort of a I don't want to call it a hobby, but it's an interest of mine. But Chicago is a place where it just seems to be, it's like in the water supply there, basically. And as you just said, the idea that you actually have to go work at the White House before you have enough clout to go run for mayor of a city just tells you everything you need to know about the Chicago way.
Well, Manuel, it says here Manuel sounds very much like a candidate in his introductory video.
We need leadership that's tough enough to say no when it needs to be said and smart enough to know what government should do and also what it can't do.
It tells you a lot about Chicago, too, that he's got kind of a soft tone going on here, but that he really had to get, as you said, sort of a running start at being mayor, especially when you consider that guy's just considered such a knee-breaker. I mean, that was the thing about Rahm Emanuel when he worked for the Clintons, and then when he got the job of chief of staff for the Obama administration, that the guy was just, that he was just so brutal, and that he just played like the hardest of hardball politics. So I think Chicago is they're playing on a different level, on a different track there.
It's time for entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Monday right here, the Legion of News.
Die Hard director John McTiernan has been sentenced to 1 year in prison for lying during a wiretapping investigation of Hollywood private investigator Anthony Pelicano. A federal judge in Los Angeles also ordered a $100,000 fine for McTiernan, who will be allowed to post bond pending an appeal. Defense attorneys had sought a 3-year probation term after the 59-year-old McTiernan pleaded guilty in July to 2 counts of making false statements to the FBI. He also pleaded guilty to 1 count of perjury for lying to a federal judge while trying to withdraw a guilty plea. Pelicano was convicted in 2008 of wiretapping film producer Charles Roven for McTiernan and of bugging the phones of celebrities and others to get information for clients. Pelicano was sentenced to 15 years in federal prison.
By the way, and if you've seen his photo, Anthony Pelicano looks exactly like you think he does.
Yeah, he looks like a character from Wise Guy.
He really does. He seems like a guy who probably is wired in many ways, as they say.
Usher and his mother have reconciled, but he still wishes she hadn't boycotted his wedding 3 years ago. In an interview with Vibe magazine, the 32-year-old says he was very disappointed that his mother decided not to witness his marriage to his former stylist, Tamika Foster. The two divorced in the last year. Usher says he wouldn't do that to my child. The singer says parents should be able to have unconditional love for their children and their decisions, regardless of how they feel.
Well, it sounds like she'll get another chance, though, so it's a win-win.
Yeah. There you go. Usher and Foster have a 2-year-old and 1-year-old sons. Usher's mother used to manage his career. NCIS actor Michael Weatherly was involved in a Los Angeles car crash on Friday. As TMZ reports, he smashed his black Mercedes-Benz into a silver BMW on a highway. TMZ also reports Weatherly approached the driver of the vehicle and accepted responsibility for the car accident. I lost my page. There it is. Jenny McCarthy, guesting on Larry King Live, promoted her book Love, Lust, and Faking It. The actress and now author spoke candidly about her split with actor Jim Carrey.
Your bosoms appear to heave naturally. Are they, in fact, God-given?
This is McCarthy 1?
Yes.
Before I play this cut, I'm really just postponing it because I realized that the prospect of hearing Jenny McCarthy speak is actually causing me near physical pain. I will take a moment to remind you the Rick Emerson Show is coming up at 1 o'clock today, and it will be Jenny McCarthy free. You'll also get to hear the Corpse Watch, Geek Watch, Clown Watch, Aaron Duran's Week in Geek. We will have a recap of last night's episodes of Mad Men and Eastbound and Down. We'll talk about The Social Network, and then we will be unveiling the fantastic method by which we will be giving away our Think Geek prizes. So we've actually got the Star Trek communicator, which is also an internet telephony device. We've got
the TARDIS USB hub.
The TARDIS USB hub, and then we've got the 11th Doctor's sonic screwdriver.
Right.
In addition to all that, we have a $100 gift certificate to thinkgeek.com, and we'll unveil the method by which we're going to be giving that away.
But what if they're not a subscriber, Rick Emerson? How will they possibly listen and learn how to win these fabulous things?
If only there were some way, if only there were some mechanism by which they could subscribe, even if they were destitute, if they were bereft.
Giving them a free month so they could listen, if only for the next month, to come in and, try and qualify for prizes.
Has this happened to you? Never again. You can find out about the Emerson Grant by going to rickemerson.com, but I will tell you this, the broad strokes are our good friends at New Millennium Landscaping and Maintenance are providing 10, count them, 10, and then... If this were print, it would say in parentheses 10 again for reasons that I never really understand. 10 one-month subscriptions to the Rick Emerson program. And all you got to do is you got to leave us a voicemail at 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964, explaining why you or somebody you know should receive a one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson radio program, absolutely free of cost. And we'll give 10 of those away every single month. And so you can find out more at rickemerson.com. That is the Emerson Grant for everybody else. Or, if you have 32 cents a day, and let's be honest, you do. And if not, you know somebody who does and is probably a pretty heavy sleeper. You can sign up at rickemerson.com. Here is Don Taylor. All right, these are the Jenny McCarthy cuts.
Yes.
Is her talking to Larry King?
Yes, about Jim Carrey.
Boy, if you could just collect all the synaptic activity happening there and harness it. All right, let me just turn it. It's like God doesn't want me to play these.
We're both seeing that maybe we're not going in the same direction anymore, and let's end in peace, not war.
I heard some of the weirdest rumors about Jim Carrey in the early 90s from this from my brother-in-law, and I probably shouldn't pass them on.
Was this the thing about how he was having that fecal therapy?
No.
Oh.
No.
I wasn't going to say
that. This was something entirely different.
Never mind.
This had to do with him perhaps also liking gentlemen in addition to
Well, that's not
ladies.
A weird rumor.
No, it's not, but I'll tell you the rumor. The weird rumor is my...
this is just a... Now, hold on. We should say, by the way...
This is just a rumor. I don't know that this is true.
We are in no way... we are in no way claiming that this is the truth. You are simply, as a news person, relaying what a source who may or may not be right. accurate and correct and who may or may not have their own agenda, may or may right. not have given you the true version of events. This is what a source claimed.
Yes. A source who was... who was gay and who was dating a Chinese gentleman, said that apparently there is a gay Los Angeles Chinese community or Chinese gay community in LA or however you want. And apparently there was a very popular rumor that Jim Carrey, he was married to Holly, what's her name at the time?
And
she's on NCIS, on NCIS for a while. And that he had a gentleman friend who was a Chinese fellow who he was actually paying the rent on his apartment.
So he had, the story claimed that he had a sort of a kept man.
Yes.
As it were.
A kept Chinese man.
Hey, what is the name for a male mistress? You got a mistress, but if a married chick has some guy, it's not a gigolo. Because a gigolo is where you're in it for the cash, basically.
There is a name for that.
A gigolo is kind of like being a hustler.
It's a something boy. I can't remember
There's rent boy, but I think rent, that's a gay term.
That's true.
I think that's a term of some, because that's what they said about Elton John. That Elton John, and that might actually be like hustlers. That might be sort of male prostitutes.
There's got to be a name.
You
for that.
Think master, but that didn't really work.
No.
In the same way. Anyway, so but it was that he liked small Asian men.
Apparently so.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm conflating him with...
And that he actually was keeping the fellow in an apartment. So.
What the hell is Holly... What is her last name? It's going to drive me crazy now.
I don't know.
Because there was she was in The Mask? Is that what I'm thinking of? She was in something. She was in the... She was in the in one of his films.
They met on one of his films. I don't remember.
I've managed to flush almost every Jim Carrey film just out of my head altogether, with the exception of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I've managed to just expunge them from my memory banks.
This is why we have the internet.
I can't wait to say it, and it's
the answer is Lauren Holly.
Lauren Holly. There you go.
There we go.
All right. So everybody who's screaming that at the radio, you can just stop now.
Jenny McCarthy also admitted she would not get into specifics about their split, but she did admit they grew apart.
Maybe it was caused by a vaccine.
What didn't work was probably us both growing and changing like everyone does.
You're done talking.
Why is she so annoying?
I was just going to say, you know, and here's the thing. I don't mean to sound overly hateful about Jenny McCarthy, because it's like, what impact does she really have on my life? I mean, it's not like she caused my parents, to avoid giving me some potentially, life-saving vaccine. So I will just say this. Do you share my assessment here? Because maybe it's just me, but I suspect it isn't. What is that book called? Things You Can Tell Just By Looking At Her. Mm-hmm. There are things you can tell just by listening to someone. Do you share my assessment when you hear Jenny McCarthy speak here for just even a few seconds that she is two things? One, staggeringly stupid. And two, absolutely and almost like aggressively confrontationally convinced that she's brilliant.
The key that didn't work was...
Oh, I'm sorry. Where's the second cut here?
I've loved every boyfriend I've had, and I still love them, but I feel like we...
It's the way she clips off the ends of her words.
It's almost like that geeky, Asperger-y kind
of... The key that didn't work was probably us both growing and changing, like everyone does, in opposite directions.
I find her irritating for the same reason I find Jim Carrey irritating. I don't like people who mug and who are just like way overly exaggerate and convinced of their own hilariousness at all times.
A comedic genius.
Yeah. When they first got together, it was like, ow, oh God, well, that's kind of perfect. But geez, how could you cram that much irritation into one place?
Here's Don Taylor.
Veteran actor Tony Curtis, who died in Nevada on Wednesday, was remembered this weekend by fans and friends. Larry King and actress Debbie Reynolds talked about the late Curtis on King's program. Reynolds remembers when they were young.
Larry King is everywhere. He's a machine. This is Debbie Reynolds.
Tony loved life. He loved... He certainly didn't want to go now. You know, nobody had a better time than Tony. He loved the ladies. He loved art. He loved this business more than anything.
All I can think about is that while Carrie Fisher is starting to sound more and more like her mother.
Yeah. All I can think about is how Miss Piggy was modeled on Debbie Reynolds.
Reynolds says that what Curtis was passionate about.
Tony loved life. He loved...
I'm playing them out of order. For the love of God. Sorry. Hold on a second.
Tony loved...
No, I think that's my fault, actually.
So you
I think
got I've, the same one both places?
That is totally my fault. I actually have the same soundbite labeled two different things.
Well, he loved life.
All right. And the ladies, Don.
Yes, he did. And,
by the way, that Miss Piggy thing is true.
I can see that.
Never mind. I was going to ask you something about Frank Oz. We should take a moment to remind everyone that Mr. Michael Beatty, proprietor of The Cleaning Solution, as a proud sponsor of Legion of News right here at pdx.fm. That is pdx.fm. Let's say, theoretically speaking, you got a month coming up where you're going to be left to your own devices. There's not going to be anybody around your house but yourself and two animals who, in fact, live indoor with you.
Two small dogs, perhaps?
Yes. I mean, you know, in this totally fictitious, completely postulated scenario.
Named Philo and Max?
Possibly, yes, if one were to hypothesize. And then at the end of this month-long period, you realize that suddenly, you are going to be visited by somebody who perhaps had been gone for that month. After a protracted period, they were going to arrive home. And that the house is just filled with any number of suspicious stains and sort of leavings that have been ground into the carpet or, you know, what have you. Not that this would ever happen to you, but if it does, or if you just look around, you realize that the carpet that, that went in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, has been cleaned occasionally or sporadically, but maybe not thoroughly and maybe not ever completely or all that well. Maybe you're just moving into a brand new place, but, it's brand new to you, but the carpet has been there for a while and you want to get it looking as good as you possibly can. You call Mr. Michael Beatty Friday at 971-533-3211. Sometimes it's your living room, sometimes it's the bedroom, the bathroom, the tile, sometimes it's your walkway, your entryway, or just after, you know, you get to the end of the summer or the end of the winter in a few months, and you've just tracked in enough stuff from the outdoors that everything's looking all grimy. So you call him at 971-533-3211, and he will put you on a maintenance program and make sure that all of that stuff, once he gets it looking fantastic, it stays looking that way forevermore. 971-533-3211. Mr. Michael Beatty, for anything your feet might touch, the cleaning solution. 971-533-3211.
If you're watching television tonight, the fall TV season continues apace. We have new episodes.
You sounded drunk just there, by the way.
I love TV.
They loved life and booze.
And the ladies. Let me dance for you. Where was I? I don't know what I'm saying now. There are new episodes of House, How I Met Your Mother, Lie to Me, Castle, and Weeds. But one thing that you should look out for on PBS and check your own listings, on American Masters, Martin Scorsese presents A Letter to Elia, a profile of Elia Kazan, and also part memoir of how Kazan's On the Waterfront and East of Eden impacted Scorsese as a young man. The documentary features clips, photos, and excerpts from Kazan's autobiography, as well as a speech he gave on directing, a videotaped interview with Kazan, and Scorsese's own commentary.
Awesome. There you go. That is tonight on American Masters, which is a fine television program. Thus endeth another episode of Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. We come to you live each and every weekday at noon from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milk Packing District in beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show comes up next at rickemerson.com. At rickemerson.com. We will see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of
Legion of News on PDX.FM.